Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. What an honor to be with you here today. It's going to be tough to follow that act that just came. That was incredible. Praise the Lord. It blessed my soul so much to see those children praising the Lord. And it just hit me, the words they were singing. That's what we really are, is a testimony to the love of Jesus Christ. I'm glad I know Jesus today. I feel the Lord in this house today. Praise God. And if you don't know Him in the fullness of joy, and you don't know Him in a real way, you can know Him that way before you leave today. You can walk out of here being a testimony of the love of Jesus Christ. There's nothing better. Praise the Lord. They touch me today. Amen. It's an honor to be with you. I appreciate your fine pastor, Brother Price, Sister Price. We honor her. We appreciate the opportunity to be with West Island UPC here today. What a beautiful community. When I landed, I'm from originally from Tennessee in the southern U.S. And I've lived in St. Louis for about 2 years. And when I landed here, there was some crazy white stuff falling from the sky that I'm not used to. But it was just so beautiful. And then today I see what happens a few days after the beauty kind of wears off. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm glad to have my wife here with us today. She's right there. Give him the princess wave, baby. There she is. Glad that she has been able to travel with me and for these meetings this last week. And then to be here today is indeed a real privilege for us. We love your city. It's been just a joy to be able to see a little bit of it and to be in some services already here. And we congratulate Sister LaToya on her getting her license. That's tremendous. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I just regret that I can't come back tonight to hear you preach. Amen. No, that will be a real treat. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to read today from the book of Exodus, chapter 1. While you're turning there, I do work with North American Missions. I travel around the U.S. and Canada promoting new churches, church plants all over North America. And I am thankful to say that God is doing great things, not only in North America, but around the world. And we appreciate your support for Christmas for Christ and all that you do to help fund new churches. The church is the hope of the world. I believe that. And therefore, we need more churches. So thank you for giving and all that you do. Praise the Lord. I realize I am in the Quebec province and that French is the language that is the official language, as I understand it. But I don't speak French. I don't speak real good English. I'm from Tennessee. Hillbilly. But I do know that French is and Spanish and many other languages are, they're beautiful. They're a Latin-based language. I don't speak Latin. But I do like the Latin word for Exodus. It actually is just simply ex means way and odos means out. And that is the title of my message today. I want to talk to you about a way out. A way out from the book of Exodus. Chapter 8 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Amen. That's all I'm reading at this moment. The message of Exodus and the message of the entire Bible and the message to the church today and the message that I am about to preach to you is there is a way out. Amen. Why don't you just pray right now before you're seated. Lord, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you, Lord, that you can make a way out. You can make a way through. You can make a way up. You can help us today and give us, Lord, a path that we can follow. Amen. That will bring us through whatever we are facing today. I thank you for every song, for everything that has been said and done in this place today. And I pray, God, that you would just anoint us as we dive into your word. Let it touch our hearts today in the name of Jesus. Everybody said in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord richly bless you. You can be seated. Thank you so much. I didn't realize that Brother Price was so talented. I didn't know he played. And I enjoyed that. Of course, Sister Price playing as well. Amen. It's wonderful. Wonderful to be with you. Did you ever notice that when we get caught red-handed, the first thing that we are tempted to do is to lie? Because it's hard to face our humanity. It's hard to face, especially when we've done wrong. It's rare that a criminal will freely accept responsibility for their crimes. Usually, there's an attorney involved. Usually, there's blame towards someone else and a big, as we call it in Tennessee, a big ruckus to distract from the issue at hand. Anything other than to face the truth. And I think it's human nature, no matter where you're from. I think it's just human nature that rather than face what I've done wrong, I would rather try to find somebody else to blame it on. But I remember a story when I was just a kid growing up in Tennessee. My grandmother and grandfather lived right next to us, and both my parents worked. And so as a child, I stayed with my grandmother during the day. So we were very close. And one particular time, my grandfather had an old truck. It was a rust bucket. It was just, it didn't even have a bed on the truck. It was just the metal rails that came out. It was an old logging truck and needed a lot of work. You know, when you think Tennessee and truck, this is what comes to mind, okay? It was just an old, rusty truck. And so me and my cousin, we were probably about 6 or 7 years old, and we were out playing on this truck, as boys are known to do. You know, that was just like a big magnet to a couple of young boys. And so my grandmother, of course, realizing the danger that was there, she told us, boys, don't be playing on that truck. You can do anything. You know, we love to play outside. You can do anything you want, but stay away from that truck. Well, you know how boys are. And so we were out there doing what we shouldn't have been doing, what Grandma told us not to do, and we were playing on that truck. And sure enough, I slipped. You know, grandmas know a whole lot. You should listen to your grandma. And I slipped down, and somehow I skinned my back and the side here, just scraped it all the way down, and it was just... blood was just gushing. The older I get, the worse this story becomes. And so I was just, you know, it was a pretty good little, you could tell it was, you know, and grandma, they're smart, grandmothers. And so I went crying up to the door, grandma, grandma. And she opened the door and she said, son, what happened? And I said, a mosquito bit me. All this, just, you know, the grandmothers are smart. She knew that must have been some mosquito. She knew I was playing on that truck. And rather than confess, I lied. It's human nature. But as adults, we get caught in a whole lot worse situation sometimes. Sometimes we choose the things that we think will bring happiness, the things that we want, things that sometimes are contrary to God's word. And we believe that they might bring us joy, and they might, but it never lasts. Soon, what we thought would bring happiness actually brings sorrow. Sometimes it brings chains and cycles in our life. You know, have you ever noticed that rich and famous people oftentimes are not very happy? In fact, they have one of the highest rates of suicide in the world. Because when we choose things that are against God's will, which the Bible calls sin, it never brings more joy. It never brings more freedom. Ultimately, it only brings more bondage. And instead of facing the truth, we lie to ourselves and others. We hide, we distract, we fill our lives with other things trying to cover up the pain. And we wind up sometimes on a Ferris wheel of problems in a maze that it seems like there's no way out. Or if there is a way, we can't find it. The Bible says in Proverbs 14 and 12, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I want to go ahead and give you the spoiler. The whole text of this message today is simply this. Jesus said in John 14 and 6, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. There is no other path to true and lasting happiness and joy other than Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I want to give you a little setting for the text that I read to you today. The Israelites were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. He put them under extreme bondage because he did not want them to rebel against him. It got so bad that at one point Pharaoh ordered to have all the male children that were being born in the Israelite camp. He wanted all the male children to be killed. And it was during this time that Moses was born. Moses' mother was an Israelite. She hid him for 3 months down at the Nile River. She made a little basket and put pitch around it so that it would float. And she placed him down by the bulrushes along the Nile River. And it just so happened that the daughter of Pharaoh found him. You know, a lot of just so happens in our life is actually God's work in disguise. Amen. It's actually God, his plan in our life. And sometimes we don't see the whole plan. And that's kind of what happened here. The Bible says she drew him out of the water. And that is what the name Moses means. Drawn out of the water. Saved from the water. She became the way out for Moses. And she found out who the mother was and asked the mother to nurse and to raise little Moses. And that mother undoubtedly was able to put something inside of Moses as a young child that never left him. She eventually had to give him back to Pharaoh's daughters because she could raise him as one of her own in the house of Pharaoh. Because had Pharaoh known that he was a Hebrew boy, he would have been killed. But I want you to know, never underestimate the influence of a godly mother. How many mothers do we have here today? Would you just slip up your hand? God bless you. You have such influence and such anointing. You can make a difference in your family and in your world. That's what the mother of Moses did. We preach a lot about Moses, but if it hadn't been for his mama, he wouldn't have been who he was. Amen. And so Moses was raised up in Pharaoh's house, but yet, inside of his heart beat the core of an Israelite. And one day he sees an Egyptian beating an Israelite, and something rises up in him. And he remembers his Hebrew mother rocking him and telling him stories about their family. And he becomes angry, and he attacks this Egyptian, and he kills him. And he thinks nobody sees it. But one day someone confronts him. And what does Moses do? Moses, the Bible says, one of the greatest men in the Bible. You know what he does? He did the same thing that I did to my grandmother. He lied. He ran. He ran to the backside of the desert and hid for 40 years rather than admit what happened. He didn't know what to do. He ran. But God had a plan. And God used this time in the desert to mold him, to prepare him. And eventually the prayers of God's people, God made it, the timing was right, and God said, I'm going to deliver my people from Egypt. And so God chose Moses to go and deliver his people. Moses comes across a burning bush that was not consumed. And God tells Moses to take his shoes off. He was on holy ground. But Moses had to walk through a whole lot of regular ground before he got to common ground. Sometimes we don't understand what we're doing when we're just in our regular everyday lives. We don't see the plan of God. But God is working in your life. Don't underestimate just the faithfulness of everyday living for God. It's powerful. But God called Moses to go and deliver his people. It's ironic that Moses, who had fled Pharaoh's house, covering up a sin in his life, Moses, a murderer, Moses was called back to face himself and the people that knew all about him. But God said, yes, I know you've got sin in your life, but yes, I'm going to use you to deliver my people from Egypt. Now, Egypt in the Bible represents sin or the world, the life without God. Biblically, that's what it represents. And so God used Moses, a man who had messed up, a man who had failed, a man who had sinned, to go back after an encounter with God. God said, now I can use you. And he sent him back to show others the way out of their sin. I'm so thankful that God can still use someone who's messed up. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that God still uses failures today. Because if he didn't, I wouldn't be standing here talking to you today. Because I am not without a past. I am not without my hang-ups and heartaches. Most of them from my own choosing. But I thank God for the mercy of God. I'm thankful that his blood cleanses from all sin. I'm thankful that the Holy Ghost, amen, touched my life and transformed my spirit. And he can do the same for you today. Sometimes we identify ourselves with our past. We say, well, I've failed. I am a failure. That's wrong, because nobody says if you have a broken arm, I am a broken arm. You have a broken arm. If you have failed, it just means you have failed. It doesn't mean that's who you are. Amen. Through the mercy and the grace of God, you can be an overcomer. Amen. You can be more than a conqueror through him that loved us. Hallelujah. In fact, the Bible is full of failures that God used. Jacob was a deceiver. David was the adulterer. There was quick-tempered Peter, but God made a way for them, and he will do the same for you, because that is my message today. There is a way out. There's a way out of the bondage of this world. There's a way out of the shackles of our own humanity. The church is still about deliverance. Amen. This church today is here, and I'm excited for what's happening with the new addition. I thank God, amen, for what God is doing. It's exciting. Amen. But it's not, our main focus is not about tubafores and sheetrock and windows and washrooms and all that. That is a tool that God is using, and I'm thankful for that, and you need it. Amen. Because you're almost out of room now. But I'll tell you what our focus is. It's that there are people who are trapped with sin and with addictions, and they need the Lord. They need to find a way out because they don't know which way to go. They don't know where to turn to. It's confusing. But Jesus said, I am the way. Praise the Lord. The Lord just laid it on my heart this morning that there would be somebody here that feels like you're trapped, boxed in a situation where you don't know which way to go. Sometimes we get ourselves into some things and we don't know how to get out. Someone said that sin is like a maze that is easy to find the way in, but it's hard to find the way out. Sometimes the consequences of life, we go where we shouldn't. Amen. And we do some things that we shouldn't. And we thought we would like it. But as we take a hold of something some things in our life, some things take a hold of us and wind up controlling us, and now we need a way out. Listen to me today. Jesus is the way. There is hope. There is victory. There is freedom. There is a way out through the Spirit of God. The Bible says it's not by might and it's not by power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The Lord is able to break every chain. Jesus can break every addiction. Jesus can make a way for you when you don't know where the way is. Hallelujah. The New Testament is full of stories of people who found a way through the power of God. I could probably go around this room today, give you the microphone, and you could testify, many of you, as to the deliverance of the Lord, the chain-breaking power. Your testimony could say, I know what God has done for me. My own father came from a broken home. All of his families were drunks and thieves. My father and his grandfather had been in jail. It just seemed to be the way my family, it was just my family legacy. All of my uncles, my dad's uncles and his cousins had been in and out of jail. My dad's two stepbrothers were some of the biggest drug dealers in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And because of this legacy, my dad just was headed toward the same kind of a life. He became one that would drink, alcoholic, if you will. And they tell me that one day when I was just a little boy, I went to the fridge and I grabbed a Budweiser from the fridge and I brought it out to the living room and I said, I want one of Daddy's drinks. And when my dad heard that, something touched his heart and he decided, you know what? My father may have been an alcoholic, and all of my uncles and my two stepbrothers may be selling drugs, but if I don't do something to change, then this little boy is going to wind up the same way. And eventually, he found his way to a church, and eventually, he received the Holy Ghost with speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. And eventually he was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, washing away all the sins of the past, washing away all the legacy of alcoholism and all the family cycles that logically should have fallen to me and to my brother. But because my dad found a way out, today, instead of being in a jail cell, I'm in a pulpit preaching the Word of God to you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I thank God for the mercy of God. I'm thankful for His grace. I'm thankful that He made a way out for my family. Oh, and He can change your legacy today. Not only that, but my brother is preaching. My son, my dad's grandson, is preaching the gospel today in Tennessee. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if God can do that for this old hillbilly, God can do that for you today. There's a way out of whatever has you bound. When you feel like you can't shake it, and the fact is you can't, but you can cry out to God. And the Lord will hear you just like He heard the children of Israel. And He will send a deliverer. And He will heal. He will restore. Why don't you slip up your hand right now and say, God, I believe that. I believe that there is a way for me. There's a way out of my situation today. Hallelujah. My own wife has her testimony. She's here today. She had two incurable diseases as a teenager. None of her family went to church. She came from a Mennonite background. Her father, grandfather was a Mennonite preacher in Pennsylvania. But as she was growing up, nobody went to church. She had two incurable diseases. Amen. But I thank God that today she's with me worshiping, serving God. Amen. Hallelujah. Because God can make a way where there seems to be no way. Praise God. Two things about the book of Exodus. Number one, there was a man. Everybody say a man. There was a God-called man named Moses. It wasn't Moses' ability or his personality that delivered Israel. It was the anointing and the calling of God that rested upon him. But yet God chose to send a man to do the work. I'm thankful for pastors that God still calls to do the work of God. You should be thankful for Brother Price today in your life, because God still uses men of God to lead us out of bondage and into the promised land. Hallelujah. Amen. And then my second point is, there was a message. There was a man with a message. Moses went into Pharaoh and he said, "Let my people go. They've been bound long enough. Amen. They need to worship. They need to serve me." And Moses' message was one of complete deliverance from Egypt. It wasn't just a partial deal. It wasn't just a temporary deal. But it was, we need to be completely delivered from bondage. And Egypt being a type of sin in the scripture, amen, the same is for us today. Praise God. The gospel is about getting us all the way to the promise of God. Amen. Out of sin and keeping sin out of us. Pharaoh, that was a type of the devil, he didn't want to give up easily. He didn't let the people of God go easily. And so, that's the way it is with us. God don't want to let you go very easily. Or the devil don't want to let you go easily, rather. Amen. You start making moves toward God, and the devil wants to pull you back. But the message is still the same. It's complete deliverance. God wants to take you all the way through the Red Sea so he can separate you from your past and use you to defeat giants on the other side. But Pharaoh didn't quit easily. There was a big showdown between Pharaoh and Jehovah God. It came during the 10 plagues. The ancient Egyptians were known for all of their numerous gods. They had at least 80. And so the 10 plagues were more than just a demonstration of the power of God. They were, each one was a judgment upon an Egyptian god. The first plague was the plague of blood. The Egyptians had a Hapi, the god of the Nile. In other words, God turned the Nile River into blood. The Egyptians had a god of the Nile. God was saying, "I'm stronger than your god of the Nile." Then came the plague of frogs. The Egyptians had a frog goddess. Then came the plague of lice. Everything, lice everywhere. The Egyptians had a god of the earth. Then came the plague of flies. And the Egyptians had a god of insects. Then there was the plague upon all the livestock. The Egyptians had Aphis, the bull god, and Hathor, the cow goddess. Then there was the plague of boils upon everybody. Well, the Egyptians had Amenhotep, which was the god of medicine. Then came the plague of hail. The Egyptians had the sky goddess. Then the plague of locusts. Locusts everywhere. I hate locusts. Anybody hate locusts? Amen. They were everywhere. And the Egyptians had a protector of crops as a god. Then darkness filled the earth. The Egyptians had Ra, the sun god. And then the last plague was the death of the firstborn of all the Egyptians. And they had a god called Osiris, which was the giver of life. Why is this important today? Because God was saying, for every god you got, I can beat that. For everything you got. You know what God's saying to us today? For every problem you got, I can beat that. For every addiction that you've got, I can top that. For every chain that's holding you back, I can break that. For every sin that you commit, I can cover that. I'm telling you, church, our God is able. He's got the power to reach you wherever you are. Praise God. You can't run from the presence of God. You can't fall far enough that God can't find you and pick you up and make a way out for you. David said, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there." Amen. "If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." He's got enough power to set somebody free today. He's got a power to fight against your enemies. He can make a way where there seems to be no way. And today the exit door from where you're at is marked J-E-S-U-S. Praise the Lord. I don't know how to spell it in French, but I know it's the same God. Hallelujah. He can make a way for you today. He is the way maker. Whatever you're facing, Jesus is here and he loves you. What a mighty God we serve. You can't dream up something that's too big for God. Amen. But during this confrontation, Pharaoh acted like a lot of us do today. When he was feeling the effects of the plague, he would do anything to get, you know, just to let God remove it and lift it. But as soon as God removed it, he would harden his heart. You know, originally, and it sort of started this negotiating process. Pharaoh wanted to short-circuit the plan of God. The devil wants to do that today as well. So Pharaoh said, I'll tell you what, why don't you go and sacrifice to your God, but just do it here in Egypt. Pharaoh knew that if he could keep them inside of sin, inside of where they were, they could worship a little bit, just don't get too carried away. But God's plan was to go 3 days' journey into the promised land. Can I tell you today that the devil don't mind if you get a little taste of Jesus? But he wants you to go all the way to a full Holy Ghost experience today. Faith is wonderful. Prayer is great. Repentance is fantastic, and we all need it. But the devil really doesn't care how much we believe, and he doesn't like to see us pray, but he might could, okay, let you have a little bit of that and maybe a little repenting. But please don't leave Egypt. Please don't go all the way to the full experience of the promised land, which for us today is the promise of the Father, the Holy Ghost. Amen. But if Israel had chosen to worship in the same land that they were in, it still would not have been acceptable to God. So God brought them out. He brought them up to the Red Sea. And they got there and they didn't know where to go. They were up against the Red Sea in front of them. Mountains on the side looked behind them. And there was Pharaoh's army. But God said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Because when you don't know the way out, God knows the way out. Amen. And God parted the Red Sea, and Israel walked through on dry ground, and Pharaoh's army was drowned behind them. Praise God, because God can make a way where there literally is no way. Hallelujah. Now, in Egyptian culture, Pharaoh was God. And so in trying to drown Moses and his people, I think Pharaoh was saying, Moses, you should have drowned as a baby in the Nile River. And now, because I'm God, I'm going to finish what should have happened years ago. Pharaoh was coming against the very name of Moses, which means taken out or drawn forth, because he was drawn out of the water as a baby. But the true God that saved Moses out of the water as a baby said, I'm not going to fail you now. Amen. And the Lord brought Moses to the Red Sea and his people. He parted it, brought them all the way through. Why? Because there ain't no God like our God. Hallelujah. He's greater than all the gods of Egypt. He's greater than Pharaoh. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. He is higher than any other. I came to tell somebody today, there is a way out. There is a way up. There is a way through. Whatever you are facing today. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I know sometimes you feel like I just can't do it. I can't make it. But there is a way. He will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Sometimes you feel like I can't bear it anymore. I can't take it anymore. But there is a way. He will make a way in every generation. Because for the Israelites, they had to go through the Red Sea. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Amen. They had to go through the water. Praise God. And when they went through the water, guess what? Pharaoh couldn't touch them anymore. When you are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you receive the promise, just like they got to the promised land, you receive the Holy Ghost, guess what? Pharaoh can't bother you anymore. He may try, but he has no legal right to you anymore. He has no legal right. You still have to fight, but he has no legal right to you anymore. I'm so thankful that we can still let the water separate us from our past. Hallelujah. And the devil has no right to me anymore. The Bible says in Acts 2 and verse 38, when they felt the Lord touch them on the day of Pentecost, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter gave the answer and said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's the same Spirit that led the children of Israel out of bondage. It's the same Spirit that will lead you out of bondage. It's the Holy Ghost. One old song we used to sing was, it's the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. I would add today, it's the Holy Ghost, and it's making a way out for me. Praise God. Amen. And after the people of God left Egypt, all that was left there was death. And that's the way of sin. It'll take you to the party, but it'll leave you with the consequences afterward. Amen. What we think will be so thrilling eventually leaves us cold and empty and heartbroken. But there is a way out. There is a way out. There is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. You know, we don't hear much about hell anymore. But I believe that the worst thing about that place of torment, no, I don't want to see anyone go there. Do you know what the worst thing about it is? There's no way out. But there is a way out today. There is a way to avoid that place. There is a way to overcome your flesh. There is a way to work through your present situation. There is a way to find peace. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's still leading you. He's still guiding people that will follow him. He will still bring you out and touch your body and heal your mind and forgive your sin and change your direction and lift you up if you will have the fortitude and the courage to follow him. I can imagine those children of Israel, even with God, you know, parting the Red Sea, yet still they saw the water on each bank and they had to have the courage to take a step. Even though they saw what God was doing, they had to trust the man of God. They had to believe. They had to take a step. I believe somebody's here today. God is parting the waters for you. You see, this is the way that I'm supposed to take, but yet you have to make that step. Would you stand with me right now? I feel that I'm done preaching. I feel like the Lord wants to touch somebody here today. Praise the Lord. Satan is a hard taskmaster like Pharaoh. But God heard the cries of his people. He made a way out. Involved the blood of a lamb. It involved going through the water. And it involved moving into the promised land. Our way out involves the blood of Jesus. Involves baptism in the name of Jesus. And in moving into the promised land where giants fall. That's where God wants us to live, through the power of the Spirit. I believe someone can receive that Spirit today. I believe someone would say, I've got a Red Sea in front of me. I've got problems. I don't even know how to get out. But I want to tell you today, if you will just see the salvation of the Lord, God will part the Red Sea. He will open up the obstacle. He will help you today. But you've got to take the first step. You've got to trust God and believe God, this is my way out. Because sometimes we want to hide. We want to distract, obfuscate. We don't want to admit, God, I need you. But why don't you let God take you by the hand today and lead you through whatever it is that you need. That's what God wants to do today. He wants to just grab you by the hand and lead you out of whatever you're facing today. I know there's some situations today. I know the Lord is talking to some people today. Would you let the Lord just lead you to the front right now? Would you just step out of where you are? Let's all just close our eyes right now and just wait upon the Lord and just pray for just a moment. But someone, would you come? I want to give an opportunity right now. Would you just let the Lord lead you out? You don't know where to go. You don't see the door. You're in a maze. You don't know where. You've got options to go, and you don't know where to go. The Lord is calling you right now with an outstretched hand and saying, I'll lead you out if you'll follow me. Would you come today? I want to give you that opportunity right now. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to worship and sing for a moment. But as we're praying, would you let the Lord touch your heart? Would you let Him speak to you right now? Would you let Him lead you out of your seat? And just sort of symbolically saying, Lord, I'll follow you. I'll follow you. I'm tired of where I've been, and I can't get where you want me to go unless I step out. Would you come now? Would you? Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's wait upon the Lord for just another moment right now. Hallelujah. That's all right. Pharaoh doesn't want to let go easily. But the Lord is here for you right now. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wonder if you would slip up your hand right now and just worship the Lord. Just let Him touch your spirit. Let Him minister to you right now. Would you do that? Would you do that? The Lord is here. The Lord is here. The Lord is here. There's a way out. There's a way out. There's a way through. Let Him touch you right now. Don't rush through this. I know I preached a little long today. No, I really don't, because I feel like the Lord is touching someone. Let Him touch you. Just reach out to Him right now. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Let Him touch you. Let Him lead you. Let Him open up the door for you right now. Call upon Him. Sometimes you've got to be hungry, just like the Israelites were. They were tired. They were been in bondage for 400 years. It was the legacy of their family to be in bondage and in chains and to not be able to make their own way. And they got to a point where they cried out to God. Why don't you get to that point right now where you cry out to God and say, God, I can't make it by myself. I can't make it alone. I can't make it staying where I'm at. I'm coming today, Lord. I'm coming. Why don't you pray right now? Right where you are, why don't you lift up your hand and say, Lord, I'm here. I want you to touch me. Make a way out for me. Make a way out for me today. I'm turning it back over to your pastor. Amen. I want him to come, and I want the Lord to touch you and to bless you right now. Why don't you just touch the Lord once again before I leave you right now? Would you just reach out to the Lord? Would you just let Him minister to you right now? In the name of Jesus, I need you today. I need you today. I need you today. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, we've heard from God today.